Safe as Houses, podcast number 11. So far in our story, Sally Yan, while running the home run four city blocks without getting eaten by a vampire, she's been trying to understand why she keeps seeing Bunt, the organizer of the race, as a Jiangshi, a Chinese hopping vampire. And just at the end of the last episode, as she faced him, trying to bluff him into giving her the electronic key that would unlock the murderous knife collar around her sister's neck, Bunt had just lurched out the door to chase down and try and kill Lavinia, who's been helping Sally, and right at that moment, the memory finally came to Sally. Inside Job Part 9. Victory? The memory filled Sally's mind as she watched Bunt lurch out the door. The Jiangshi, the Chinese hopping vampires, well, they weren't real, of course, but a Jiangshi had come to her once, long ago. It had come in the night, when she was a girl just becoming a woman. It had worn a mask, and it had moved stiffly, and she had been dead with terror as it approached her bed across the dark room. It had not hopped any more than Bunt had hopped, but it had moved as though acting against its own will, and it had pulled back the covers from her shivering body, and it had lifted up her nightgown. One time, only that one time, it had come. Terrified, she had groped and found a small bowl of sticky rice on her messy bedside table. Sticky rice, one of the things those dumb Chinese movies had told her would stop a Jiangshi. She held it out like a crucifix between them. The Jiangshi had frozen deadly still. Then it turned suddenly and left the room in hasty confusion, but not before she had smelled the wine on its heavy breath and known it for her father. Watching Bunt lurch hastily away as he chased Lavinia, Sally understood at last why the Jiangshi seemed so important to her. She now knew something about Bunt that she hadn't known before. And so she cried out with careful incoherence, "Don't kill me! I don't know what to do without her! I admit we had no equipment! Oh, what do I do?" She tried for a voice weak with helpless terror, understanding now how he would love that. It worked. He stopped chasing the van, pushed his way back through the vampires and into the store, and walked toward her.
"Okay, we're done with this shit," he raged.
He was sweating and disheveled, and he walked right up to her, saying,
"I ought to kill you, but you won, so I'll give you a reward, but not no key, and we won't say nothing about—"
She whipped up the stake and stabbed it right into his thigh, nice and close to his balls, and then ripped it out. He screamed a girlish scream and doubled over, fell to the floor clutching his wound. Sally slammed her foot down on his head, wishing she was wearing boots instead of running shoes. "Give me the key and the code now, or I will kill you." She pictured his death, held the stake against his neck. She understood now. Bunt was a petty tyrant, a martinet, like her father, but just like her father. Bunt had no power outside his little world, and very little real bravery.
"I don't have it,"
he started to say, but she kicked his head. "Lie! You carry it with you always. It's your only power." She nicked his neck with the dripping point of the stake. "Last chance!" And he did not have the strength to bluff any further.
"It's in the inner pocket," he babbled, "and the code is 441. It's 4132529. Don't kill me. I'll be good. I'll go straight. I'll never do nothing again. I'm so sorry about Mommy and all those fags. I promise I won't ever."
Not sure she wanted to know what he was talking about, she flipped him over with the toe of her shoe and fished the key out of his inner pocket, holding the bloody point of the stake against the underside of his trembling, gnashing jaw. "Anything I have to know about deactivating this?" She jabbed the point into his flesh.
No, nothing to it. No, you key in the number. Just, you know, don't make a mistake. You only get 3 tries. And then he
trailed off and shrugged with an ingratiating weasel grin. She was afraid she knew what he meant by all those fags. "Do I understand that you have other people with these collars on their necks? What, in your basement?" Her stomach turned.
Nah, just one. The others, you know, yeah.
Bunt shrugged helplessly. Sally understood that before he got Carrie Ann, Bunt picked up homeless guys and bled them for his runs. His basement was probably full of their corpses. The runs had given him wealth and notoriety enough that Carrie Ann had offered herself to him, probably in exchange for whatever shit she was on. Sally did not know what he'd meant by sorry about Mommy, but she couldn't take any more. Had his own mother been his first victim? Probably. There's a numb place beyond outrage and horror. She simply asked, "And this same code unlocks all the collars?" He nodded, his eyes never leaving her. She pulled out her phone. "I'll be talking to my sister. If she dies, you die." She willed her stone-hard hazel eyes to communicate to Bunt her genuine desire to murder him. It helped that she was, in fact, trying to decide if it was safe to let him live. Hatred raged in his eyes, but self-pity was making them wet. To make the call, she had to stop the video recording. She half expected the phone, only a year and a half old but already barely working, to crash, but it did not. As she touched the picture of a heavily made-up Carrie Ann and listened to the sound of dialing, she reflected that in the eyes of the law, the video might incriminate her as much as it did Bunt.
"Boss?" came the trembling voice.
"Darling," she answered. She no longer remembered when or why they'd started calling each other those particular names.
"Got the key. No problem." "Oh, God!"
"Deactivating it now. Bunt's right here, and he's told me exactly how to do it." "Last chance for you if you're lying," her level gaze told the big, sniveling man. He shook his head desperately. Then she tapped in the number and hit enter. "Darling?" she asked, unable to keep her voice from catching. She heard breathing and then crying. That was a good sign, wasn't it?
"Carrie Ann, goddammit, you answer me! Are you okay?"
Next week will be the last episode of Volume 1. That episode will be called Safe Inside. And then after that comes an interlude and the beginning of Volume 2. Thank you for listening. This story is copyright 2013 by me, Michael Litsky. The music that you hear in the background is by Chris Zabriskie. You can visit my website for a print version of this story and a lot more, www.fictionandmore.com. I will see you next week.